The Volume.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, October 4th. It's spooky season, and we got a bunch of shit to talk about, including we're going to talk basketball stuff, but we also have the most anticipated segment in podcast history in North America. We are doing a dinosaur cook-off later in the show, so stick around for that for sure. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my dear friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, have a good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
And I'm Gardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And it is spooky season, and John has joined us, Tyler.
Finally, I saw the ghost emojis. He's a spooky bitch ghost? Just like us now.
Hey, I wanted to be, when you said spooky bitch, I'm like, that's all me, bro. You know, I love the sus shit. I love the sus shit. That's where I exist in that, you know what I mean? But yeah, I thought about saying Lebowski, Big Lebowski, but I'm not there yet. Maybe next year. I'll add that, you know what I'm saying, to the LeBoo. But anyway, we all here together with it.
Once sure. I realized that we could use Twitter to do Simpsons Treehouse of Horror spooky names for ourselves, I have never looked back. I've been doing that ever since.
So. For sure. I fucking love spooky season, though, like on some real shit. Like, it's not a gimmick. I love fucking this month, bro.
It's the best.
It is.
Maya entered the world this month. You know what I mean? It's a great month, top to bottom, bro. You got the best movies. You got the best food. You got the best sports. Like, it's perfect.
To me, it was always just like a speed bump to Christmas. That's how I felt. You know what I mean? Like, Like that, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I just never been a jack-o'-lantern ass nigga. Like I said on Twitter, I just always, you know, was just, this was like the little, let me get through this and then it's Christmas season and I could get my shit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So that's how I thought.
It's kind of the opposite with me because like when I think of Halloween, I have nothing but good memories about like, you know, being fucking a kid and shit, right? Like there's some weak ass memories I got about Christmas, like taking 3-hour road trips to Pennsylvania and wearing weak ass sweaters for Christmas dinners and shit. Like there's some bad memories associated with those seasons for me, but there's no bad memories with Halloween for me, bro. They're all good.
I mean, that makes sense. I just never like, I stopped dressing up in like middle school. You know what I mean? Like, like sixth grade, I wasn't, after elementary, I didn't have costumes or none of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I was just scaring the other little kids by pretending like I was like a scarecrow or some shit. You know what I mean? In a chair. Like, you know what I mean? So,
We had the ghettoist. Halloween was always my favorite holiday. We had, once we were too old to trick or treat, we had the ghettoist fucking setup where, when you walked up to my door, my bedroom window was on your left. And so we put a life-size Freddy Krueger cutout there. And my brother and I would just yank the fucking blind cord down. So, like, you know what I mean? It would be like, wah!
Last time I dressed up, shit, it was about 10 years ago. And me and my homies dressed up as NWA. And we, like, you know, went bar.
Who are you?
Shit. I was Eazy-E. Of course, you know, I'm like the shortest one. I had the little Jerry curl. Bro. I'll see if I can find that picture. I think I posted it on TwitPic and the fucking
internet.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I think the internet ate TwitPic, but we'll see if I can find that shit.
Christmas and Thanksgiving are cool when you have a kid, bro. But having a kid, your perspective on the month of October is going to change for sure, bro. It's the fucking, it's the best. You remember 2 years ago, me and Vinny went as Miles Morales and Peter Parker?
Yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
We got a costume. We got a father-son costume this year that I'm very excited about. I'll post that shit at the end of the month. I'm fired up for it.
Big reveal at the end of the month.
This is a teaser.
I'll keep it a stack with y'all. I've probably been like dressing like rappers like since like middle school. So like I've been wearing that same flannel shit. I was wearing that from like sixth grade to eighth grade when I was, you know, going like I would go trick or treating, but I just wouldn't dress up. You know what I mean? I spend half the time, like I said, scaring kids, but
I would bet so much money I would dress up as whatever my baby wants me to dress up as to take her trick or treating.
You might catch me in a tutu next year,
100%,
bro.
100%. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck, nigga.
I mean, you guys know Char's personality. Maya wants to be a unicorn, and so she wanted Char to be a princess, to be the princess with the unicorn, and Char is not a princess ass,
but she's tapping in though.
But she already got her princess dress and her crown.
I was
able to find that NWA picture I was talking about. I'm about to post it in the group chat.
All right, for sure. All right, let's talk about sports.
Sportsing.
Obviously, we're an NBA pod, but we have to talk about Urban Meyer, you dirty dog.
Urban, what the fuck?
Zigging where we thought he was going to zag. We thought he was going to fake another heart issue to get out of Jacksonville to get to Southern California. But he's taking a different route.
That old sly fox. Urban, you tricky bastard, you. Right? Like, all jokes aside, I legit think he's like, yo, I can't do the bad health thing anymore. It felt like he was setting the scene with those quotes that leaked like last week, like this is hurting my heart. I was like, oh no, here we fucking go again. But I feel like he's trying to go the shitty husband angle to do the whole, I need to take some time off to be with my family. And then he's going to get that call from USC and be like, okay, this has sparked the fire in me to work again. Right? I for sure think that's how this shit is going to shake down. And Urban, we're on to you, bro.
Listen, there's more sex addiction recovery places per capita in Southern California than anywhere else in the world. You know what I mean? So, a video
What was that HBO show about the dude who was a Californication, right?
With
Scully or Mulder.
With Mulder.
Yeah.
For those who have not seen the video, a video came out of Urban Meyer with a woman who is not his wife, grinding on him at a...
Not the wife of his youth.
Yes!
Callback for your ass.
This is a fucking great picture. All right, for sure. I love that. Okay, so Urban, you dirty dog. Let's talk about Ben Simmons' bank account. The 76ers owed Ben Simmons an $8.25 million payout last Friday. That's 25% of his contract. And because of the current situation where he is not going to be a 76er, they did not give him the $8.25 million. They put that money in an escrow account. How much does this change your opinion of the situation? Or does it not when you see the number $8.25 million?
Well, that 8.25 hasn't disappeared. It's been placed on hold. So, you know, that now if it disappeared, we'd be having a whole different conversation. But it seems like Ben Simmons is leaning into the petty. Like, did you see that fan Instagram, that Sixers fans Instagram that posted a breakdown of all the money that he'd lose during the season if he sat out? And Ben Simmons liked that shit. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the breakdown. I see he liked it, though. That breakdown was crazy.
Yeah, he liked it. Like, bro, I saw it on Twitter. I thought it was fake. I went to the fucking Instagram page, and there was liked by Ben Simmons right there. I was like, God damn. Like, look, he's leaning all the way into the petty here, bro. And I think that I don't think he'll be stupid enough to lose that 8.25, right? I think he'll fucking, you know, suck it up if it has to come to that. But right now, man, it's just a petty off right now, and Ben seems locked in.
I mean, there's a difference between petty and $8.25 million. Like,
that's not petty cash.
That's not petty at all. That becomes ignorance, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, yee, like, buddy, it ain't worth it. So, yeah, like, I love the fun, but for me, looking at that numbers, I don't get a dollar out of that shit, and that made my stomach cramp up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I had the exact same response, and it's just like, look, we are capitalist little bitches raised in a capitalist country, and I just can't, like, it changes my brain chemistry when I see 825 in escrow.
M
with an M.
With an M, bro. You know what I mean?
Not with the th.
But we talking about M. You know what I'm saying?
But there's, I mean, 8.25 is a whole lot of fucking money, right? Of course.
Yes.
But is it a whole lot of money to, you know, a $200 million dude like Ben? You know what I mean?
I just can't, bro. I'm not a $200 million dude, right, so I don't know, right, bro.
That's a lot of money not coming into my bank account on a fucking Thursday or some shit, bro. I'm like, I'm just thinking about, like, me looking at my account and 8.25 not being there. Like, hey, I'm calling everybody, bro.
The president
got to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Biden, I need you on the phone. You feel what I'm saying?
Our check from the Volume Podcast Network hit my account last Thursday, and I checked that shit at 8:00:00, and it is one millionth the amount of money. Yeah.
here's what I liken it to in layman terms, in terms of the poors. Like, have you ever just
brokies?
Yeah. If we can look at this
in terms of the usses.
Yes, if we can look at this through a brokey perspective. Have you ever just flat out no call, no show, quit a job, and you had like PTO saved up, and you're like, I don't give a fuck about getting paid out for that. Just get me the fuck out of here. Like, I've done that before. You know, I've left like a week's worth.
I need my PTO. Run me all of mine.
Yeah,
all of my dollars.
I've left like a week's worth of PTO at one job because I didn't give a fuck. I just needed to get the fuck out. And I feel like this is kind of, it's not similar at all because it's $8.25 million.
A week's worth of PTO? That's like $400, dog.
Yeah, exactly. But $400,
especially at that age, younger,
when I was broke.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, come on, bro. $400 is a big deal, but 8.25 of them dimes, nigga? Of them M's? Like, nigga, bro, this ain't PTO time, and I'm going to be keeping straight with you. I need my PTO time. Pay me out every fucking penny of that shit. I got to go, and I need to bring my PTO money with me, too. Cash me out. So 8.25, that's some, whoo, talking about spooky season. That's a spooky amount of money not in your motherfucking bank account, nigga. You know what I mean?
But it is
for real in this motherfucker.
Because it was like watching a Scooby-Doo episode for me. You know what I mean? I'm like, absolutely, the principles of professionalism rant that Tyler had, like 100%, fuck the Sixers, you know? And then
respect
that 8.25
that,
came in like the fucking ghost, and I turned into Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean? Like,
we gotta go to work, Scrappy. Scrappy dude, let's go to work. You feel me? I need that 8.25, you feel? God damn, gee.
In addition to spooky season, it's also I'll do whatever the team needs season for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I wanted to ask you guys, because this Lakers team is unique. Guys our age, fans our age, grew up with all these dudes. And I don't think there's ever been an NBA roster that you'd say you knew the characters on the team better than this Lakers team, right? That team photo looked like a... It looked like an all-star photo from when we were,
like a draft, 25 years old or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like the NBA draft, like picture they take, yeah.
So here's my question. Bron said he sees an energy shift. Carmelo saying he'll serve whatever role the team wants. Rondo said at Media Day last week, if he needs to play 40 minutes a game or sit 40 games in a row, he's there for whatever the team needs. Russ has obviously talked about, I understand I'm going to need to have a different role with this team. It's the season to say that. Do you believe those guys? Do you believe that's going to work when we're playing and it's January 15th, and these dudes, they're a little sick of each other or they're in a stressful game and you really only can't have one guy take the lead? Do you really believe it's going to work the way they're talking about it working right now?
Yes, I absolutely do. I absolutely do, because I think that players – and Bron, they trust. They know if you lock in and you play ball in Bron's vision, you're going to get a fucking ring. I mean, if Bron turned J.R. Smith into a worthwhile playoff contributor, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, until.
But that third quarter in game 7, bro, they probably don't win the ring without without those like 8 points from J.R. in that
mm-hmm,
quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that players genuinely, I don't think that's just, cliche talk. I think they genuinely believe that, yo, if we lock into this and we play our parts and we kind of play ball in the vision that Bron has, vision for us, we'll get a ring. And I do think that they're not just saying that shit. I think that Russ and Melo are being truthful here.
I think, like, when you look at the team, it kind of reminds you of 2004 a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's not 2004. You know what I mean? Like, nobody likes fucking Carmelo. Fuck that nigga. You know what I mean? Like, all right. GP was kind of old. You know what I mean? But GP still had a little bit in him. You feel what I'm saying? I don't think, Russ is to that point that GP was at an end. And then Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other at that point. You know what I mean? But these players like each other. You know what I mean? With all that said, I have zero idea what happens in a big game, in a must-win situation, and motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And it's time to like get some buckets, and do people go to what they have been used to doing their entire careers? You know what I'm saying? Does Russ put his head down like in the Russ in the moment have the composure to be like, this ain't my moment. You know what I mean? I don't know. I do think so. Like, I agree with what Tyler said, but I'm not as certain as he is. But I think, like, throughout the season, in big moments, that's when I worry a little bit. You know what I mean? That's the only time I really think that they can it can get off the tracks a little bit. You feel me?
Yeah, I believe some of them more than I believe others. I 100% believe Carmelo Anthony is there to be a veteran leader, mm-hmm. to play with his friend LeBron, to be LeBron's other guy in the locker room, and that – I believe Carmelo will embrace. I mean, if you've been listening to his interviews too, it's like this is the epilogue, if you will, to his career, right? And he wants a ring out of it. He wants
Let's hope it's a Clint Smith epilogue and not a normal epilogue. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's get a real one in here. You know what I'm saying?
He feels like he put his career in and that arc was almost kind of finished, is the feeling that I have. And so he's here to, but Russ. And Russ is, Tyler and I are of the same mind. Russ is one of my five favorite basketball players ever. I love Russell Westbrook. But I don't know that I believe that if he takes an ill-advised shot at the end of a game. First of all, I can see him doing that absolutely, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know that I believe that if there's heat in the locker room afterwards that he would love that.
I want to see the best
version because I'm a Lakers fan. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing with Rondo. If you're really saying Rondo, if Vogel tells you we need you to sit 40 games in a row, you're really telling me you're gonna be like, cool, let me make sure that Bazemore is, let me rebound for Malik Monk. You know what I mean? I don't know that I believe that.
A man that spit in another man's face. I don't know if I believe that. You know what I mean? I do think, like, you know, I like you said, I believe certain people, but like, yeah, Rondo more than Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? I believe Westbrook way more. I think Rondo would be more of an issue if he were to sit out like 8 games, especially big games that need to be won. I don't see him being cool with not being in there playing. It's just not how he's built, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? He wants to get out there and be a dog and do dog shit. You know what I'm saying? But with this roster, you know, do we need him to do that?
You have multiple Hall of Famers coming off the bench. You literally can't start all the Hall of Famers.
Right, right. So
you know what I mean? So it's gonna be unique. All right. Last word, obviously, we spent, you know, the last episode we had Matt Sullivan on for a very long conversation about vaccination in the NBA. That's pretty much the only thing that was discussed throughout media day all of last week. So we're going to leave the lid on that can of worms, I think, going forward. I did want to point out that the vaccination rate among NBA players is now up to 95%. So as always, and I think this is the case with America as well, when you talk to public health officials, there's some really loud voices that get a lot of headlines and a lot of attention. But most of the people you're talking to are in the middle of the two polar extremes on any subject. And as I think Jason Concepcion said, we'd be in a much better spot as a country if America was as vaccinated as the National Basketball Association at this point. So,
Tyler, you said we were sitting at 51% on the group chat, right? We still around? Yeah. So
we're at 51%, like 170 million or something.
So I appreciated having the conversation last week. We received a variety of feedback to the conversation.
We knew, though. We weren't blindsided by it. We knew 100%. We were going into a shitstorm. So,
but I would point out, you know, you absolutely could have headlines that's like, why won't America follow the example of the NBA? Mm-hmm. Get 95% vaccinated. So,
right.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with 3 legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Monday Night Football this week is Chargers-Raiders. The Raiders are on a roll, but as a longtime Chargers season ticket holder when they were in San Diego, I always have a rooting interest in that one, even though I'm not necessarily a Chargers fan. So I will be making a same-game parlay with the Chargers to win. I've got Herbert playing well, scoring a lot of points, so I'll take the over, and I'm going to take Herbert's passing yard props to make my 3-leg same-game parlay. And I'll get better odds than I would have by taking the Chargers spread or money line. However, same-game parlay is not the only reason I love betting on all the NFL action with FanDuel Sportsbook. They've also got fast payouts, it's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and it's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J&J, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JANJ. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Moving on. I'm very excited about this. Hold on. Just give me a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, oh. Let's go.
The motherfucking paleontologist bucket.
Yes, I love this so much. Oh my God, that's great. That is so
live
good.
From the Hell Creek Formation in North Dakota. It's the first dinosaur cook-off show brought to you by the Marmarth Research Foundation, the only cooking show that combines our love of dinosaurs with our love of being ignorant. I'm very excited. Let's meet our contestants. Each of us will be preparing 3 entrees featuring dinosaur meats. First of all, he is literally a grill master. He is the only justification for having a Twitter account. Tyler, welcome to the Dinosaur Cook-Off Show. Say hi.
Happy to be here, man. I'm ready to cook, as the kids say.
The baddest male bitch on Twitter.
Coming to you live. I will take that.
Los Angeles, California. John, welcome
by
to the
way
show.
Of St. Louis. By way of St. Louis. Let's not forget the center of my universe, you feel me?
Mike, before we go any so deeper, man, I think you owe the audience a little, you know, dive into your paleontologist efforts in the past.
I am your host, Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
And host/contestant.
I have spent multiple summers of my life on dinosaur digs. That is something I had a chance to do quite some time ago in the Hell Creek Formation of Montana and North Dakota. And so I love talking about dinosaurs. I have dinosaur fossils in the other room. This is literally like combining Tyler and I's top interests. We've got dinosaurs and grilling meat. So before we get into, everyone has 3 entrees we prepared. And then, if our producers are in a mental state / parenting state to do so, they will serve as judges for the cook-off show. Let's first talk about what dinosaurs tasted like, because obviously that's going to factor into the way that you would think about what we're talking about. The first thing I would say is that when you eat birds, you are literally eating dinosaurs. Birds are the last living theropods on the planet Earth. So you're literally, it's not like a, it's like a chicken. A chicken is a theropod. It is like, it is a dinosaur. So, not descended from, is literally the same branch on the tree. So, crocodiles, crocodilians, which includes alligators, also share a common ancestor with dinosaurs, and they also kind of taste like chicken. So if you're thinking about what they tasted like, crocodiles, gamier meat like duck, dark meat, that's probably what we're looking at with dinosaurs. Mm. Obviously, the size and the activity level and the amount of muscle is not comparable to a Tyrannosaurus rex. So that's where the difference comes in.
But also, let's think about New Orleans, okay? Because, like, if you go to New Orleans, those gator burgers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, when we went there, like, when I saw the, that's what made me really think about what they tasted like. Like, I've wondered sometimes, but when they said that on Twitter, like that post about they found a new dinosaur, and I'm looking at that bitch, I'm like, yo, that motherfucker looks astounding. Mm. I would love to throw that bitch on a grill. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, let's think New Orleans. Let's think about those, you know what I'm saying, those meals we've had there. I think most people have been there. So, like, you know, people wondering, like, I think that, no, nigga, like, you can, New Orleans has figured ways to make gators good. You know, we could do the same. You feel what I mean?
First time I had gator was when I was in New Orleans, when we were there, what, 2012, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had the gator bites, which was like, you know, popcorn gator. And I was like, God damn, this is delicious. I was like, this tastes like if popcorn chicken and calamari fucked. You know what I mean? I was like, this is the best combination of worlds that I have ever tasted. So, yes, I think a dinosaur would absolutely be fucking delicious.
Yeah, so when we talk about dinosaur meat, we can't talk about that without talking about New Orleans. You feel what I'm saying?
For sure.
Would you eat, if someone came out today and said they have successfully engineered, like, woolly mammoth meat or dinosaur meat, would you buy that? Or would the fact that it was, like, a laboratory creation freak you out?
I think we'd have to get some generations deep into the breeding, probably. You know what I'm saying? Before I hop out there, I don't want some shit fresh out the lab. You know what I'm saying? I need some shit about goddamn, you know, 30, 40 generations deep where y'all are real life fucking, not some test tube, you know, manipulation shit. Yeah.
If they're just making the meat, like on some, like, you know, impossible meat,
they're
shit,
3D
no.
printing. They're
you
3D
feel me? I don't want
steak.
That. Right. I want the shit. I want the animal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want them to make the animal and then cut the meat off that motherfucker. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
If we get them to spend $1 billion to create a T-Rex, then you want them to put that bolt through the back of its skull and kill it.
Stegosaurus.
If we get to the point where we've got like woolly mammoth ranches, if we get free range woolly mammoths and shit, like, yeah, sign me up for that. But not the lab shit.
I don't know
shit,
if
you know
I'm eating a woolly mammoth though. I don't know, but the dinosaurs, for some reason, those are the ones, like, you know, that's what really, you know, tickles my fancy, you know what I mean?
All right. How should we do this? Should we each present our three, or should we go 1-1-1-2-2-2-3-3-3?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we should probably do all three.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
That's what I'm thinking. We ain't got to make it too complicated.
There you go.
Oh, progressive. Oh, wow. So okay.
Jackson's bringing culture to the podcast. I didn't even. He's a progressive menu, and I was like, "This is a real high vax rate with the menu."
I mean, he used Tenable. He's been a progressive menu ass.
he's a college boy.
He can't, you know, he
All right, so shows it. Tyler goes first, or do we end with Tyler? Tyler has to go first or last.
Let's start with Tyler, and then we'll know if we even need to go.
Okay.
You know what
Tyler,
I mean?
Give us
if
your,
the grill master
three,
just drops
entrees.
Them off, you know?
Okay. All right, so first I want to give you guys a little bit of a dive into my rationale here on how I reached the decision on my entrees. So, you know, doing some thinking, I was like, what type of dinosaurs would be the most delicious? I think you got to go herbivores. right? Because I think that, you know, if you look at the livestock, at the meats that we eat herbivores. You know, cows, chicken, you know, pigs are fucking omnivores, but the pigs we eat, they don't get fed meat, right? So we're eating herbivore pigs too. So I leaned into that. And then, you know, I thought about what's the most delicious type of herbivores. And the most delicious type of herbivores are baby herbivores, right?
Oh, you a monster. You a monster. You a monster. You a monster. I hear you, but we go. We
are going to find out what it feels like to play Jordan in his prime right now. Yes.
Right? So, you know, veal is way more delicious than beef. You know what I'm saying? Fucking, you know, Cornish hens, the little baby hens, they're way more delicious than the full-grown hens. Like, the motherfucking lamb is, bro, we don't even eat mutton. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to be like a fucking 13th century Viking if you out here eating mutton. Like, get the fuck out of here, Eric the Red. So I went with that, and what I decided was I was going to do slow smoke a baby triceratops shoulder. Okay, and this is how we're going to start. We're going to start with a marinade, right?
Close. It's over. Podcast over. It's been, right? Chickens and Jones. It's been a great show. It's competition to win. God damn. This nigga said a baby triceratops shoulder. I can't even think like that, nigga. Golly. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, nigga.
Okay, and keeping with the herbivore aspect of this, we're gonna lean into trying to get, you know, a grassy, earthy flavor here, right? So what we're first gonna do is we're gonna marinate it. We're gonna do a little garlic and herb marinade, right? We're gonna marinate that for 24 hours. Then we're gonna create a rub for it. Okay. Now, usually, you know, with like, you know, with your pork rubs, you want to do, you know, 50% brown sugar, 50% salt. But we're, like I said, we're going for the earthy grassy taste. We want to accentuate that here. So we're going to do a rub sage based rub here, right? Okay. And then we're going to go with, you know, ground thyme, garlic, salt.
He's reading off of something. He wrote a recipe.
Yes. I'm dead serious about this shit.
You got the heat you going to cook it on too, nigga? Shit.
We will be using applewood chips here, but we'll get back to that. So we're going to go with a rub sage-based rub with ground thyme, garlic, salt, onion powder, cumin, some cracked black pepper, some smoked sea salt, you know, to bring out the smokiness, some smoked paprika as well, some cumin, a little dash of brown sugar to kind of accentuate the sweetness of it, and we're going to coat it with crushed rosemary. As I said, we're aiming for the earthy, grassy taste here. That's what we want to accentuate for this herbivore, this little baby triceratops here. Okay.
You get and one. Then, you get one dish. That's it, bro. No, stop.
I need to hear the other two. I need to hear the other
nigga,
two.
Bro, nigga, we can't go after this. We
you
can't
you
go
wanted
after
to go
this.
First. You did.
Said, that was horrible decision, Mike. Why you let me do that? Go ahead, nigga. I don't
continue,
like you right
continue,
now, though.
Tyler.
I'm gonna say that.
All right, so we're gonna slow smoke this for about, you know, 6 or 7 hours. You know, we're gonna make a base of olive oil and butter with a dash of lemon juice, and we're gonna use, you know, we're gonna base it with a rosemary brush. Have you ever seen that? You know when people use the rosemary brushes?
No, I haven't, Tyler. I'm a normal human.
You've never seen that?
What the fuck? No.
We're gonna use
the
rosemary brush because it really does add a difference. It really, you know, like I said, it brings out the herbiness of it all. All right, so we're going to do that. Now, you guys have had my pork shoulder. I don't cook it to the point of it being, you know, shredded like barbecue sandwich type. I like it to be, you know, tender, you know, like a steak type cut, right? So we're going to cook it until it's at that point of tenderness. And what we're going to do, see, I'm double dipping a bit here. Like, that's the star of the show. My second entree here is going to utilize that. We're going to, you know, dice up some of that shoulder. You know, we're going to throw that into some corned beef hash. We're going to make a little, you know, smoked triceratops shoulder hash. You know, we're going to throw some scallions and some onions in it. You know, some, you know, we're going to get crazy with that. And then we're going to top it with a pterodactyl egg over easy with some cracked black pepper. So those are my three entrees. It's kind
Nigga,
of a
I'm
synergy.
I'm really hungry. I am hungry.
It's Nigga, kind of a synergy of, you know, it's all revolving around the shoulder here, so. That's what I present to the judges for approval here.
Bitch ass nigga, you. That is beautiful, nigga. you had to go, bro. Mike, you got to go next. Come on, dog. Don't even throw me out there like that, dog.
You're gonna okay. All right.
The nigga, I really want that shit, dog.
I'm really furious. I can't order this right now.
I'm just supposed to go ahead and eat these three fried eggs like I eat every day, like, after I'm hearing this shit, bro. Like, nigga, what?
I'm gonna play the expert card here on Tyler's cooking, because he has sent John and I both his pork shoulder, and God fucking damn it. That shit is so fucking good. And now I understand why, because you're doing shit to the meat I've never even conceived of.
you gotta make love to the meat, baby. Yeah.
All right. Fuck. So I don't have the knowledge of cooking that Tyler has. I do have a fairly good knowledge of dinosaurs. So I am going to start on a different continent. I'm going to do something that's more of an Asian cuisine preparation, because at the moment in paleontology, all the new species, all the interesting science is coming out of Asia, and more specifically China. But I have a Japanese dish I'm going to prepare. You're both familiar with fugu, the deadly poisonous blowfish that they prepare in Japan.
Yeah. And there's only certain section of it you can eat that's edible?
Yes. Yeah. And the poisonous part that produces the venom is more deadly than cyanide. So God there's damn. A great, the, one of the best Simpsons episodes of all time was about Homer thinking that he'd eaten this part of the blowfish, that he was going to die. So I am going to do the neck meat of a Dilophosaurus, this around the part that produces the venom that they would spit. Mm-hmm. And I am going to do a fugu miso soup, which is an autumnal soup meant to be eaten when it's still warm, but it's starting to turn a little bit colder. And then I'm going to put some taro in there, which is what they do with the fugu soup. And then I will have some sashimi and some Cretaceous edamame on the side. Fugu Dilophosaurus soup.
Okay, and a Dilophosaurus, that's the dinosaur that would put the little hood out and spit at you? Is that what
they didn't really have the hood? They didn't really have the hood, but they did produce venom in the way that But that's
killed the white man in Jurassic Park.
The one that ate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I be damned. Okay, you know, took us to a little Asian cuisine theme there. I like it.
The first dinosaur that was sort of acknowledged to have feathers was the Archaeopteryx. Which is a flighted dinosaur. So I am going to prepare... John is furious right now. I'm going to prepare an Archaeopteryx adobo style and serve it on some jasmine rice with some... They had giant asparagus back in the Cretaceous. So I will serve some slices of asparagus stock alongside my Archaeopteryx adobo. And then... I was operating on the same thoughts that you were about herbivores and sort of the difference between the lighter meat and the darker meat. The dinosaurs are more likely to be a darker meat because of the way that their muscles and the blood vessels were. But I am going to serve a pair of Saurolophus the way that I would prepare lemon chicken. I would get some breasts off of that thing, and then I'm going
to
baste it now. It's going to be lemony and garlicky, and I'm going to serve it with some golden potatoes, and I'm going to put it on some angel hair, which is how I like to serve lemon chicken, and those are my three entrees.
I like y'all niggas extra as fuck. God damn, bro. Shit. All right. So I'm going to take you right around the corner. To motherfucking La Cienega real quick. Alright.
You about to get some tacos out of this motherfucker?
Nigga, nah. Lemon pepper pterodactyl wings, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? I just felt like, you know what I mean? I like basic shit. I'm a regular nigga. I just want a big ass wing with lemon pepper. Make it wet, of course. Or maybe we lemon pepper wet. Not La Cienega. We taking you to motherfucking Atlanta, at least, with it. You know what I'm saying? So there we go. Lemon pepper wet pterodactyl wings. Also, like, when I think of, like, the meats that are good, like I said, I thought of herbivores, too. And I'm an oxtail-ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I was thinking, like, I want a nice little stew with a stegosaurus tail. You know, I think the stegosaurus tail would be a fatty ass. I thought the neck, but I'm like, nah, I think the tail would be the fat meat that I want. You know what I'm saying?
So
let me get the stegosaurus tail, throw it in some soup and some oxtails. You know what I'm saying? Back that motherfucker up to the whip and drop them motherfuckers in the trunk. You know what I'm saying? And then the last one I had two. I don't know which one I want to go with. I do like ribs, and I think the Triceratops ribs will go crazy. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I don't have a way that I'm going to cook it. But I think being that I've had like alligator burgers in New Orleans, I know the burger went crazy. I don't know how soft the Triceratops meat would be. Yes, it's fatty, not pork fatty. You know what I mean? And beef ribs are lean. I'd imagine that a Triceratops rib would be even leaner. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with the T-Rex burger. You know what I mean? Grind that motherfucker up, throw some avocado on that bitch, throw a Triceratops fried egg on that hole, and get me, you know what I'm saying, a nice pretzel bun with that motherfucker. And I think, you know, I have motherfuckers wrapped around the door with that. I don't think motherfuckers paying $80 a dish like with y'all dishes, you know what I'm saying? But we gonna make our regular ass Target nigga money over here. You feel what I'm saying?
There's no question.
Tarzan shoppers will fuck with me.
There's no question that the person making the most money is the person selling the T-Rex burger. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people will wait in line for 17 days for a T-Rex burger.
Yes, especially if you decide to use them little weak ass arms that they never use in their life. That meat probably tender as fuck, bro.
I thought about them, but I think I would throw them in a stew. Like a pho, like a T-Rex, you know what I'm saying? Like T-Rex arm pho, and then crack the T-Rex egg in that motherfucker. Boil that bitch, you know what I'm saying? I had a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Two of them. I want two. I like two eggs with my pho, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I go with the T-Rex arm. I didn't really think about grinding the burger up, you know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, if we grinding it up, we could use the other parts of the T-Rex, you know what I'm saying? So, but if I'm eating a T-Rex, it's got to be ground. It can't, you know, I'm not going to eat a slab of T-Rex meat. That shit probably, it ain't got no marbling in that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? So, that marbling, that ad that make it real tender, you feel me?
Jackson That's and Adam, our producers for today, do we need to have a vote?
I just want to say that was beautiful, guys. That was beautiful. All of those dishes sound amazing. And Mike did a good job playing to his half Asian judge with the Asian, slant to his meal. But I mean, we can't really say anything other than Tyler at this point.
I have one thing to say. I don't know how John, after hearing what Tyler said, you can come in here and say, I'm going to get ribs. And to quote you, I don't know a way how to cook it. Tyler has this whole rug in detail, and you're saying, I want ribs, but I don't know
Give
how
me them
to
ribs.
Cook.
I thought we was just naming, like, I just thought they were delicious. How would I want them? I didn't think I was actually cooking the motherfuckers. I just thought we were naming dishes we wanted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, who is going to prepare what for me? Tyler, you know, his love language is cooking. You know what I mean? Yeah. My love language is eating. So our perspectives are different. You know what I'm saying? So
Tyler was cooking and John was ordering, for sure.
Right, you feel me?
And I was cooking for my kids because I just named basically three things that I make. So
well, if I was ordering one of these three menus, honestly, there's a chance I would pick Mike's because, like I said, I love Asian.
Yeah.
But Tyler bodied that contest like he was Bobby Flay coming in against like fucking some dumb Iron Chef challenger who thought he stood a chance. That was crazy.
The way you changed your persona once you started talking about cooking, like, all right, this is a different nigga, bro.
At his first sentence, I was like, I shouldn't have listened to John. I should have had Tyler go last.
But
bro, I watch a lot of cooking videos. I consume a lot of cooking content. That's sort of like the type of stuff I watch when I'm not watching sports or whatever. I've never in my life heard of a
never,
bro. That's how I know. That's how I know Tyler's on another level, bro.
Tyler sent us pork shoulder through the mail, and that motherfucker was tender, like through FedEx, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like FedEx over that shit still was fire, like.
Oh, he sent us pork shoulder packed in dry ice.
Bruh.
You also know the minute that Tyler opened up his mouth, John instantly regretted not planning this out beforehand.
The thing is, I had two things. I had three or four things on my mind. Two things I knew I wanted, right? But I'm just thinking like, yo, what would I order at this motherfucking restaurant? I'm like, nigga, this motherfucker reading, right? That's what tripped me out. I was hungry after this nigga like said. I'm like, dog, like I gotta eat regular shit. I can't buy this shit no more. Like that's it wasn't fair. I knew it wasn't fair, but now like I really know. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus.
Jackson
Christ.
Adams, thank you for the easiest judging job anyone's ever done in the history of podcasts. Tyler, John, do you have any honorable mentions? Tyler, do you have anything else you were thinking of that, you know, like a dessert or a fucking appetizer or anything else? Do we have anything else that we could throw out there? A whore's divorce, if you will.
A horse devours. The motherfucker. Hey, them Flintstone ribs, can we talk about how good those motherfuckers looked? When I was a kid, and I used to see the Flintstones cartoon come on, and I'd see the part where those ribs tip the car off. Like, God damn, the ribs look good as fuck, dog. It's like Flintstone ribs and like Ninja Turtles pizza and like Yogi Bear fucking apple pie, blueberry pies and shit. Those are like the best looking cartoon foods ever.
I think smoked ribs would be like, what type of ribs were those? What triceratops ribs? I don't know what other ribs. Brontosaurus. Oh, that's shit. Some smoked
triceratops
ribs.
I have a triceratops rib in the case in the other room.
Can you? Is it possible?
Go cook that motherfucker.
Yeah, you want me to get it?
Yeah, please. He's like, yeah, you want me to get it? Of course. I ain't never seen no triceratops rib.
This dinosaur rib I have in my house? Fuck yeah.
Goddamn right. Nigga.
I ain't never seen a dinosaur rib in person.
I cannot believe you. Like, nigga, you why aren't you a chef? Like that.
It's something I love to do so much that I wouldn't want to do it, make it my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might fuck up the vibe for that shit.
But that's pretty much like the rub that I use when I do like lamb shoulder and shit. So
yeah. This nigga just got to take the safari hat off.
The one that I want to nominate for honorable mentions that I think was a missed opportunity was Spinosaurus, the only dinosaur that spent time in the water. It's one opportunity for like seafood dinosaur.
I thought someone was gonna say a mosasaur, like, you know what I mean, the big the shark ones. So this gives you a size.
Yeah,
of
exactly
the size of God, about damn. Half of a a triceratops rib. So you can see what I thought was interesting when you guys brought up the triceratops rib, because John is right that the they're leaner. But the ribs are so big, you could get lean. But there'd be so much meat.
So much meat.
Because the ribs were so big. You know what I mean?
The sheer size of the motherfuckers. Yeah.
I excavated that triceratops rib myself, by the way.
Hell yeah. Way to go.
That's a big dick drop. Big nut drop right there. You know what I mean?
Me keep it because it was broken. And so I had to use, they call it paleo glue. It's basically a glue that's sticky enough that it'll stick rock together, because that's what fossils are, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you had to kind of piece a bunch of little pieces of that shit together. Mm. That was fun.
That was fun. Wow. Sheesh.
I'm actually angry I'll never get to taste what Tyler talked about preparing.
Yeah. Dog. Now I gotta cook some shit, bro. I can't just do some regular shit today. Like, I was gonna get some pizza. Now I might have to throw some shit on the grill, dog. I'm hungry as fuck too now.
I'm absolutely amazed. I'm just in shock.
I have the vapors a little bit.
Right. I'm truly in shock. I just am truly in shock. This rosemary brush, nigga. The fuck, like, this nigga got tools. Tools for cooking, you feel me? This motherfucker could pull up with a case to your crib at the grill. You know what I mean? Like, sheesh.
That's all the time we have for Jenkins and Jones today. We will be back on Thursday. For those of you who've been following along with the book club, Clint Smith is going to join us next week. So get your questions ready and be prepared to email those in later this week. But thank you so much. Basketball just around the corner. We're really excited for that. And we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.
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 Live Nation presents Concert Week.
Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.